Hey.
Take your Bibles, if you would, once again this afternoon, and turn to the New Testament book of Philippians. This is part two, as we began last week. We started this message looking at one particular aspect or one particular necessary part of prayer. And of course, as God's providence would have it, pastor is praying on the benefits of prayer last week and this week and into after they get back from Israel. And so by God's grace and by his providence, I believe that as we know, when God says something once in the Bible, we ought to take notice. And when he says something twice in the Bible, we really ought to take notice. And I believe by that very same providence that if God leads one preacher to a particular topic and then leads another man to the very same topic in a very specific way, that, boy, I think we better pay attention. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to testify to you, that this last 2 weeks and these messages on prayer have spoken to me like never before. And I trust that God will accomplish his work in my heart and accomplish his will for us all today as well. So last week we began looking at this necessary part of prayer, that is intercession on behalf of others. Using as our source text, if you will, last week we looked a little bit at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And then we also looked here in Philippians. And chapter 1 is where we'll start. Let's just read through our source text here, beginning in Philippians 1, verse 27, and reading down through chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible once again says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me." Chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, quickly reviewing, for those that may not have been here last week or may not recall, quickly reviewing, and for a source of context, interceding, as we're talking about this aspect of prayer, means to confer with and to entreat for. Now, we know from Scripture, of course, that every redeemed child of God already has the two greatest intercessors praying on our behalf. And we saw that in Romans chapter 8, how the Holy Spirit that dwells in us is one of those intercessors. As it says in Romans 8 and 26, "The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself," that is the capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God itself, "maketh intercession for us." And in that same chapter, in verse number 34 of Romans chapter 8, we saw that our very Savior is the other intercessor on our behalf. It says that it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, with those truths in mind, I posed this question last week, that if our personal Lord and Savior, the very Son of the Almighty God, intercedes for us, and if the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us and searching our hearts is also interceding for us and with us, then why would it be important to God that he tells us more than once that we are to also intercede on behalf of others? Well, we found three aspects, or we looked at or studied three aspects of the purpose for interceding on the behalf of others last week. There are more purposes, there are more reasons, there are more aspects of it, but I believe these were the primary parts, at least, that we looked at. First, it strengthens our relationships with God, mostly, because we spend more focused time in prayer and in conversation with God. You can only strengthen a relationship, as we heard this morning and as we heard last week, you can only strengthen a relationship by spending time together. Quality as well as quantity. And so our relationship with God is strengthened because we spend more focused time, but it also strengthens our relationships with those for whom we earnestly intercede. That is to confer with and to entreat for. God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as you do." Now, many times there is no greater comfort than when two can come together and spend time conferring with and entreating for, praying for one another. Haven't you found that to be true? When you have an issue, when you have a problem, when you have a burden, when you have something that you're trying to gain the victory over, isn't it more comforting to have someone come alongside that you can confer with, confide in, and pray together with them and have them pray together with you? Boy, what a comfort and a joy that is, because as we know, there's more strength in numbers. That may not be biblical, but I'm sure it is, because where two or three are gathered in my name, there he is among us as well. And yet, it's just so comforting to have that physical togetherness. The second purpose of intercession on behalf of others that we saw was that it can give us perspective. As we bear down in earnest prayer for the strength and the faith and the wisdom to deal appropriately and effectively with situations for which we're praying and seeking direction, the immediate severity of our own burdens and circumstances seems to lighten up a little bit. Our focus is removed a little bit, perhaps even to the point of realizing that we're no longer worried about things in our own life as we are going to God on behalf of others. Why is that a peaceful thing? Because God knows what we have need of. And yet God tells us that we are to entreat for one another. And as our focus is on others and on communicating with God, we're so much less inclined to say, "Oh, woe is me, and boy, aren't my troubles severe." Because it gives us some perspective. It helps us to see that we're not the only ones here with problems and burdens and faults that we have to deal with. And if we esteem others greater than ourselves or better than ourselves, boy, it gives us perspective, doesn't it? Thirdly, we saw that intercession will restore and build up in us a more meaningful and a more powerful service and worship of our God, putting God first in our hearts and minds, which is really the practice of seeking first the kingdom, putting God on the throne of our lives, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so we continue today with part two of On Behalf of Others, looking at the process of intercession and then the product of intercession. Father God in heaven, as we look to finish out this message, it may not be long, but God, I believe it to be so very important. Lord, as you've worked in my heart through the study of this topic, Lord, as you've worked through these messages of late in the hearts of your children in this body of believers, God, I'd ask that you would fill us today with your Holy Spirit as well. Help us to set aside, even just for these few moments, anything and everything that would distract us from understanding and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. God, help us to focus on your word today. May your will be accomplished in us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so looking at the process of intercession, last week we looked again briefly at James 5:16, which starts with these words. James 5:16, and we heard the end of it this morning, but it starts out, confess your faults one to another. And then we also saw in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken or overwhelmed in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, look once more at the first verse of our text. Once again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, just the very first part of that verse, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, if we're to consider this process of conferring with and entreating for one another, we must also, in those times, and in light of this particular message, we must make sure that the conversations that we have prior to interceding for one another are as it becometh the gospel of Christ. When we consider in light of this process, it must become very clear that our confession of faults to one another and our bearing of one another's burdens is not about coming together just to lend a listening ear, although there are times when there is value in that. But it's not just about that. This process of keeping our conversation as it becometh the gospel of God is not to come together to commiserate about the struggles and the trials that we both face as Christians in this lost and dying world. And I'll tell you, it's a world fraught with sin and evil, in case you didn't recognize that. But I know that you have. Most of all, the process of interceding for one another is not to put our heads together to find some kind of humanistic, wisdom-based solution to our problems that makes the most sense to us logically. Isn't that what we tend to do? I know a lot of guys, and I'm not trying to be sexist or anything like that, but a lot of guys, myself included, want to be fixers. There's a lot of women that want to fix what they see wrong. But the idea of interceding on each other's behalf is not to come together to find a solution to fix what's wrong in some wisdom, human wisdom-based mode. Rather, it's a time, whether it's in our personal individual time with Christ on behalf of others, or even as we do come together, it's our time to bring our faults and burdens to Christ, to seek the godly wisdom, to know, first of all, that through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, Christ has already overcome the world and all of the problems in it. As Jesus stated, in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, he says, I have overcome the world. You see, that, friends, is the good news. That is the gospel of Christ. It says here in our text, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So as we come together to talk about, to confer with, and to pray for one another, the good news, the gospel of Christ, is that Christ has overcome those things. And we're to take those burdens to Christ. Secondly, we need to know that God puts no value in the wisdom of the world. What? No, he does not. God puts no value in the wisdom of the world. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. I want to take a look at this and show you that I'm not coming off the top of my goofy head. Pastor just said amen that I've got a goofy head. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't think that's what he was amening. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. Verse 19 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible here says, as Paul records it, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, there is no fault, no burden, there is no situation, there is no circumstance that can be rightly or completely resolved outside of the power or of the wisdom of God. We cannot solve our problems on our own, because we come at them from a heart that is fraught with a carnal nature. We are sinners saved by the grace of God, of no power of our own, of no faith of our own. The faith that we have been given by God to accept Christ is that same faith from God that will help us to take our problems to God, to allow Him to solve them. The second part of this process of interceding on behalf of others is that we must recognize that though we are called to bear one another's burdens, it does not mean that we are to become so involved that we assume responsibility for the actions or choices or circumstances of others. Sometimes I believe that we think that somehow, knowing God as we do personally, somehow if we bring the outcome upon ourselves, that the consequences or the result of someone else's problems might be somehow less severe for them. If we get so involved to offer them, God, punish me instead of them, not in so many words, but if that's what our approach is, that we want to get so involved in their life that we're going to go through the consequences of their decisions with them, friends, that's not right. How can you say that? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. We looked at it briefly last week, but look at it with me again. Galatians chapter 6. I'll get there. Look with me at verses 3 through 5. Now remember, I said if we think somehow that bringing their circumstances upon ourselves is going to somehow improve or lessen the severity of the outcome, verse 3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And it goes on to say, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burdens." Well, doesn't that conflict with verse 1 that says, bear, or verse 2 that says, bear one another's burdens? No, it does not conflict. And here's why. As we bear one another's burdens in prayer and in intercession, taking the problem to God to pray for the wisdom, the strength, the faith, and the courage for them to deal with the problem appropriately as God leads them, they're also interceding for us. But we also have our own problems. The verse number 5 here, that every man must bear his own burden, that's bearing the responsibility for the problems that we have brought upon ourselves. So there is no conflict in the Word of God when it says bear one another's burdens, but then it says if man's got to bear his own burdens, that doesn't jive. Well, that's because the wisdom of the world is trying to understand that, but when we take it to God and let God show us, we are responsible for our actions. Also, we know from Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 that every one of us shall what? Give an account of the other. No, they'll give an account of himself to God. And again, this is why we're warned in Galatians 6:1, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore, section 1, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So in the process of intercession, we must bear down in prayer for one another, bearing the burdens as it hurts or as it affects each of us, we must come together in prayer to confer with and entreat for, and yet make sure that we know where the boundaries are, because every man must bear his own burden. We could take it before the Lord and let God work, but then we have to let God work. That's in other lives as well as in our own. So we're warned against trying to take personal action in the details of another's fault, as that action will risk our own witness and testimony of God before others. But we can and we should stand in the gap on behalf of others in prayer, in earnest prayer, just as Moses did for the Israelites. Did he not? As the Israelites sinned before God, Moses stood in the gap, not to take the responsibility for what they've done, but physically stood between God and the Israelites and said, God, consider your name and the love that you have for them. Just as Stephen stood in the gap as he was being stoned and said, lay not this sin to their charge. And especially as Christ did while he hung on the cross, crying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, our prayer for others, while we cannot, like Christ, necessarily plead for and pay for the forgiveness that they need in like manner, our prayer ought to be that the Holy Spirit will work to strengthen them, to encourage them, to bring to mind the great grace of God for forgiveness if needed, if they will but ask. And we must earnestly contend for their faith, as it tells us in Jude, in verse 3. Earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You see, if we have gotten ourselves, or if circumstances have come about that we're in some dire straits, we as saints have at one time had a faith delivered unto us, but if we have not acted on that faith and strengthened that faith through our personal relationship with God, and we need strengthening of our faith, even as we heard this morning about, man, I tell you what, Pastor, this morning we saw so very clearly how bad our society is and how depraved it is. And it brought to mind the verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 that judgment will start first at the house of God. We need to be interceding on behalf of us, each other, in the house of God to strengthen our faith, to appropriately deal with the problems in the body of Christ before we can effectively take the message of Christ to someone else that needs it so desperately. It's a tough process. And it's hard work. And it ought to be hard work. I had a manager one time at work tell us that, yeah, the work is hard, but you know what? If it wasn't hard work, they wouldn't need us. Friends, I believe that to be very true. People in this world cannot see the goodness of God on their own. We heard this morning just how aberrant people are against God, how fiercely they're fighting against everything that is God. And it takes one that can see it to believe it. Well, what is the it? That's us. And if we're not going to be where we need to be able to show, to exude, to exemplify Christ, then they have no hope. This process of intercession, it is so very important. And if we can, and if we will recognize that we need to be a part of this, it will then bring us to the product of intercession. What will intercession bring about? Well, the product of intercession on behalf of others, again, James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And the next phrase is, that ye may be healed. I believe our text in Philippians also gives us several characteristics of what this healing looks like. If you turn back, if you're not already there, turn back to the book of Philippians. looking the first couple of verses of chapter 2, the process of healing through intercession looks like this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, that's tender compassions and mercies, fulfill you my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. If we will indeed and in truth esteem other better than ourselves, and will intercede, looking not on our own things, for God knows what we have need of, but when we look on, when we intercede, when we confer with and entreat for the things of others, according to this passage, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in ours and their lives, then we'll experience healing in the body of Christ through consolation. That's comfort. Through the comfort of love, the Bible says, through the fellowship of the Spirit of God, through mercy and compassion, healing through joy, as it tells us in Philippians 2, and in unity as the children of God and as co-heirs with Christ. Don't lose perspective that we are called and we are saved and we are going to reign and co-reign with Christ. We are co-heirs, adopted as full sons and daughters of God Almighty. And so we can walk in unity. And I'll leave you to go with this verse of encouragement today that I found actually on a calendar. It was an inspirational calendar, and it just so spoke for this month. Psalm 133, if you will, just turn over there and we'll see this and we'll close. Psalm 133. Don't you just love the Psalms? There is so much in there for us every day. Just a single verse to encourage us as we go today. Psalm 133 and verse 1. The Bible tells us, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, may God help us to intercede on behalf of others and to be able to come together in that kind of unity in the strength and the glory and the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Pastor, would you close the service?
As Brother Steve was preaching on the bearing one another's burdens, came to mind about if you give a man a fish, he has a meal for a day. If you teach him how to fish, he can feed himself every day. And we go overboard in resting away the another person's burdens. They don't really learn how to deal with their burdens. Come alongside of them to help them to carry their burdens is to teach them how to do it.
Yes.
That's why when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we're to comfort one another with the help wherein we ourselves have been comforted of. That we come alongside of them and we teach them how to bear up under the burden. And we pray for them, as Steve said. So thank you for that reminder. Because parents do this a lot. You know, they try to wrest their children's problems away, and the children never really learn how to cope with life.
Right.
And our job as a parent is to come alongside of them and to teach them how to do it. Not to actually do it for them, but to teach them how to do it for themselves. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the encouragement this afternoon, the things that we learned, the things that we're reminded of, or, Lord, even new ways of explaining and trying to understand and grapple with the Scriptures. Lord, we just thank you for the Spirit that guides us and directs us and leads us. Lord, we pray that as we go forth this week, that we will be obedient to the Holy Spirit as He leads us into all truth. And Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.